Welcome back.
Every time.
Hey, just to let you know, y'all, this is the last episode forever. No, I'm just kidding. This is the last episode before it's over. Before Caitlin is in town. So when you see us next, we will likely, we're going to go live and we're going to be on my couch together.
How cute is that?
We haven't been here in a while. I haven't seen you in a while. This is the longest I haven't seen Caitlin probably since we started the podcast.
Yeah, it's been.
I haven't seen you since
2.5 months.
That's crazy. We just talk so much, it doesn't feel that long.
I know.
We talk all day, every day.
It's a little depressing though.
But we're hoping to try and like keep a schedule of like a probably filming on Tuesdays, recording, and then doing live shows on Friday, like when our work prohibits, because we obviously both have full-time jobs. But we do want to try and start doing more lives and try and do that on Fridays. Of course, like if there's a crazy, crazy matchup, like we always might like not do Tuesday and might do, you know, a different day instead. But I think
Monday
this is
or
like,
Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and settle into like regular-ish doing Tuesdays and Fridays. So if you're new here, because we have like had a lot of new friends lately, I'm Spencer and that's Caitlin. And thank you for being here. Please, if you don't already, if you've been watching us or seeing us around and you don't subscribe yet, please subscribe. Please like the video. Please comment. We try, and I think we do respond to almost every single comment unless it's like literal lunacy and mean. We don't usually respond to those, or sometimes we will.
I don't enjoy the mean comments.
Not my favorite. But yeah, so that's that. And we also like all of our stuff is always linked below. So if you're ever looking where to find us when we're not on here, looking for cute you sports merch, it's all, everything's linked below. Everything down there.
All of our other socials, our merch. If you prefer to listen to us, like if you're just like, wow, I really like these girls, but I can't sit and stare at them all day because I'm a busy guy or a busy gal.
We like to listen to podcasts like on the road. You can't watch. We're on everything.
Anywhere you can, we are on Apple, Spotify, all the listening ones too. But if you just must see our face, we are of course here.
You know, it is. I'd say Caitlin's nice to look at. To be fair, I don't blame you.
First of all, I just made myself look like a who from Whoville. Second of all, Spencer's the hottiest, tottiest MF-er on the planet. So
I get to stare at Caitlin all day long. So
that's what I was going to say. I was like, I get to stare at Spencer all day. So really, who's the lucky one?
Honestly,
here?
It's kind of nice. But yeah, if you are unaware, I'm getting right into it. I've had enough of everyone. OKC, KFC, OCD, Nuggets in five.
I would say Nuggets in five,
but I'm going to give them six.
I might even say seven.
I'll give you seven. I texted Caitlin during the game because of how close it was that I literally don't think I could stand a series like this. Like, I think it would literally break my brain, break my heart. So if you didn't know, obviously... especially because it wasn't on national TV. So Nuggets won last night. If you didn't get to watch the game, I'm very sorry for you. And it's really annoying that Nuggets don't know how to play on national TV. To be fair, the Nuggets on Sunday had to play. I think the game started at technically 11 a.m. like Denver time, because obviously they left. And then
10 a.m. my time.
So then it was real, like for body clock wise, they were playing at 10 a.m. Not an excuse. You know, they did come out first quarter well. We ended up evening the series with OKC now. Okay, so we won earlier in the year. OKC won their first game against us. Chet had an amazing game. He like really bossed Jokic on that first game of the year. And Nuggets looked terrible that first game with OKC.
I literally thought that the Nuggets were like a bottom five team the first games of the year.
The first like 10-15 games, I was like, are Nuggets gonna make the playoffs?
The play-in?
And then I believe both Murray and AG were out the second time and we handed OKC their first loss. And Chet was almost, I was at that game and I remember having to look up and see if Chet had been in the game. And like, that's not me being quiet. Silly. It's just, it was one of those where I like didn't recognize like that he just didn't do anything. So this was a big deal. Obviously that was the beginning of the season. We've had a long time. So Nuggets had back-to-back in OKC, obviously first two games were in Denver. So they were big games. The first game obviously was very close, like very frustrating. I know like we have both fan sides that watch our show. Yep. So I'm going to try and not be like mean today because y'all, wow, I have a lot of things to say, but,
I feel it.
You know, it felt like a lot of the calls didn't go our way, which is fine because a lot of the calls did go our way in the first like quarter of that first game. And then it went on like a 19-2 free throw attempt run in the second half. And I know everyone's like, well, stop complaining about fouls. But like, to be fair, I think if the shoe were on the other foot that everyone else would say the same thing, because I did see even OKC complaining last night that apparently they didn't get enough fouls.
Before we even like go super deep, I want just like everyone to put their big boy and big girl hats on and just recognize that like if you're an OKC fan watching this, remove your bias. Try to remove your bias for a few minutes. Yeah. Try to be like, if Denver was experiencing the same thing, how would I feel? I am going to be doing that as a Nuggets fan. If OKC were doing it, or like if the Nuggets were doing what OKC was doing, how would I feel? Or whatever. We're going to try to do this as long not as angry see, as possible.
And as long as I see other fan bases saying the same thing, then I feel a little validated that I'm like not being just like super unreasonable.
So
and like
biased. Same.
So biased in my head. Same. But the thing that felt like, and first of all, we got outclassed the first game. That's like, it happened, you know? It felt like a lot of things didn't go our way, just like because, you know, we had the game plan for like Aaron Gordon to be in the game. You know, he went out 6 minutes. And again, this isn't me trying to make excuses. I'm stating facts.
Explaining the game.
Yep. Explaining how things didn't go our way, just like I'm going to explain how things probably didn't go OKC's way last night. So AG went out with, you know, 6-7 minutes only playing. And that's frustrating. Obviously, we've been hurting without him all year. And we really needed him in this matchup, especially because OKC has gone to the Chet and I Heart Twin Towers, the trees. You know, it's hard for Jokic just to be surrounded with smaller guys. You know, we figured it out yesterday, but that's, you know, Sunday was not great. So AG went out and then, you know, Jokic gets fouled by Hartenstein and falls directly on his shooting elbow. And then the rest of the, you know, he was like on the bench, like working it, icing it. He was hurting. Everyone was saying that we were lying. I'm like, have y'all ever like hit your elbow on something? That shit hurts. Like, I don't. This motion.
Catch
after
me
you
in
fall,
a sling for a week, my guys. Sorry.
If like, how much does Jokic weigh? Like 290? I don't know. If I weigh almost 300 pounds and lay on my elbow, I don't think this motion is going to be great for me. You know, luckily he was able to ice it. I think he obviously looked much better yesterday, but after that incident, his shooting was off. I mean, could it have just been off? Yeah, but I would like to think that falling directly on the elbow had a little to do with it. And then also a lot of people have been talking about this. Tim Legler even, called the game. And if you don't watch, he does a podcast with one of our friends, Adam Mares from the DNVR. It's called the All NBA Show. And Tim Legler was talking about the game yesterday since he called it. And he talked about the momentum shift when Chet Holmgren had 5 fouls and he hit Russell Westbrook in the face. Russell Westbrook fell down and they didn't call it, which would have been his 6th foul, which led to a transition dunk for OKC, obviously, and then a tech, obviously, for Michael Malone because he was outraged. And so that, like, it was close up until then. And it felt like after that, they just beat themselves. Like it felt like it was over, you know, that was in the 4th and you felt the game change. And it was just, even Tim Legler said it was one of the worst missed calls probably of the year, or was most important missed calls of the year. So again, this is an analyst that watches the games. And so like, I can agree
calls
as a Nuggets fan,
games.
But again, it feels good to like like, it's not just us as Nuggets fans saying this. So after that, OKC does, though, what I've been bragging about their team for, where you look and they were close with the Grizzlies the other day, and then you like look a minute later and they're up 18. So that's basically what happened to close out the game. You know, like, Nuggets looked defeated. They kind of looked like they knew it was over. And I would say, like, it felt like they kind of stopped trying. And then it ended up in a blowout that didn't feel like a blowout.
It's because it was literally just like the last two or three minutes. I think that over and over again, straight back. It was on like offense, that call every time.
And then SGA hit like a dagger three that kind of like sealed that game. So, you know, SGA, that game was like 15 of 32. So he had 40 points. Congrats, I suppose. What I don't love is the rewarding for the baiting. That was awful. And I think people like get us confused when, because everyone's like, he's not a free throw merchant. And I'm like, first of all, I never said he was, because I know obviously if you take his free throws away, he's still like the top leading scorer. Like, he doesn't need the free throws. So that's what I'm saying. Like, someone couldn't understand me the other day, because I was like, I know he's a great player, I just don't like him. And he was like, well, if you like Kobe, like, how do you not like him? And I'm like, it's because of the other stuff. Like, I'm not saying he's not a great player and that I understand why people like him. But me personally, watching him jump 3 feet into the side of Westbrook and then fall, you know, under Jokic, like throwing his body back. And then even last night, that call where like Jokic was like trying to guard him and he got just like a touch, a soft foul. Did you see that in the second half, like the fourth quarter, like barely like tapped him. And I was like, come on. And you know, half of it is the refs. And I wanted you to bring your point up for how the, how they should stop that.
Oh, with what I said yesterday. Yeah.
To get people to stop, as like, not, it's not just SGA, you know, MB does it, Harden does it, Brunson does it. Oh, Brunson does it.
Yes, Brunson does it. And even I was talking to a few, I think, OKC fans today, which 90% of them were very not nice for no reason. Guys, let me tell you something right now. I don't rage bait. I don't ever tweet mean things. I don't call people names. If I'm ever responding to something and I'm disagreeing with you, I put it as eloquently and kindly as possible, using as much of my frontal lobe as I possibly can. I am emotionally mature about it. If you come at me just calling me names after I am just trying to actually have real sports discourse with you,
I think the hardest part,
your point is invalid then.
I think the hardest part is that they never have their face. And then,
of course, like, they're burners. Yeah.
So half of them probably are 15. A kid was yelling at me about Shea the other week. And then I actually did find out, like, from like his page that he was like 14. And I was like, buddy, like, first of all, you can't even drive yourself to a game. Second of all, you probably have an English report due tomorrow on Animal Farm or Lord of the Flies. A spelling test, multiplication. Mom's got your after
school snack ready.
And I like made a joke about him. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, of course, another faceless burner probably living in their mom's basement. You are living in your mom's house. You're 14. So maybe you should worry about if your mom is going to pick up your favorite dino nuggets from the store and not argue with grown women about basketball that have been watching basketball much longer than you. And just
twice
because
as long as your life, we're my women, guy.
We also have brains and knowledge. Anyway, continue.
Yes. So that's all I want to say is that, like, I'm going to start there. I mean, it's just that, like, I'm never someone that sits there and tries to be mean or says anything mean. I love sports discourse and I love to talk about this stuff. But
if you're mean to me, though, I'm usually mean back. But that's because I grew up with two older brothers. So, like,
period. Duh. As you should be. I grew up, you know, with horrible people sometimes. So I cry anyway. If you know me, if you've been watching for a while, you know that I always talk about how I kind of just like wish the like touch foul would go away, and that like the only fouls I would like to see are like clear swipes, like that make contact across the body or the arms or whatever, and then flagrant fouls and stuff. Because I just think that you're an NBA player. You've been playing basketball your whole life. I promise you, you've played games. You've played pickup games,
A guy barely touching your hip is not inhibiting your shot.
Exactly. You've played pickup games more physical than this. Okay. You don't need a free throw for that. And so my whole thought, I'll even just bring my tweet up, but I'm essentially just like saying that we need to stop rewarding the baiting, because it's going to continue and it's going to go across the league, which, like we said, it already has. Like, you have guys like Luka that do it sometimes. And
LeBron the other night.
Yes.
Did you see that where he got hit like in like this way and he like acted like he got elbowed in the face by like Tatum or someone on the Celtics?
Yep. Like, so, and it's so frustrating to watch, because like, and I get it, you know, like I made a point a while back when we were talking about SGA, and I'm like, you know what? Like, the times that I see him foul bait the most are the times that he's not shooting as efficiently or when his team is down. And so I'm like, you know, like, I gotta respect it. Like, I'm gonna get an extra point here. Good for you to try to get your team back, you know, by getting those extra points. It doesn't mean it's not frustrating, because it just is.
Because who wants to watch it? And to be fair, Jamal Murray did one of those last night, and everyone agreed. We all don't like when anyone does it. The thing is SGA is known for doing it, and he does it often. Luckily, like, the Nuggets don't really like have anyone on our team that does that. I will say that the time I see people on the Nuggets like obviously baiting for fouls, like Jokic, is when he literally can't get a call at all. Yeah. Like, the whole game, you know, and it does happen. Obviously, he had zero free throws, you know, against the Celtics. And that's like, and I don't like when he does it, but I know why he's doing it. It's because they won't whistle for anything.
Correct. Yeah.
So he has to make it obvious.
You and I talked about this like last week too. Steph Curry did the same thing a few games ago. He couldn't buy a call to save his life, and he literally just started throwing himself. Anytime he got touched, he started throwing himself. Like, he was doing it on purpose and egregiously to just like show the refs.
If that's what we have to do,
And so, you know, like with SGA and or like with Jokic, a lot of people were talking about like the Nuggets, because Jamal absolutely made contact and like baited a foul call. Lou Dort got the call for it. He got the foul call, and everyone in the stadium booed. And I thought it was funny, because I was like, "How's it feel? How does it feel?" Because, like, first of all, like, I hate it. Even when Jamal does it, disgusting. Yeah. The second I saw him do it, I was like, "You little shit." You would do that.
Like, it's obvious. Like, you all know. Yes. So that's why, because it's so obvious, I'm like, OKC fans, like, you, this is not your time to speak up. Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
Not your, you know, like, not
keep
your.
Keep it down in the cheap seats.
Pipe down. Okay. You're not the ones to call it out. It's like when Steve Kerr was getting mad about Golden State Jokic's last season about not getting free throws. And it was like the one game that Jokic got like a semi-normal whistle. It wasn't even like egregious. And he was like, and he used that as like the platform. And I'm like, I understand if you're mad that your team's not getting calls, because obviously like Steph and them have struggled getting calls in the past. But like, of all people, it's like, come on. So again, it's like,
this is Jokic's one time.
And you're Shea fans, and this is what you're going to whine about.
Yep. Yep. And so, and I just want to, I know that like everyone's like, oh my God, it was just like the one play against Westbrook. The reason that we have been using this is one, because like, it's a perfect example of things that we see often. Not all of them are this obnoxious. Like, if you know the play, Shea had the ball and he literally jumped up and sideways directly into
the left. And then jumps to the right, like this far over into Westbrook, and got the call.
Yeah. And Westbrook was like trying to avoid him, and he made the contact. Yeah. Like, Westbrook was literally like trying to get away from it. Yeah, exactly. But he jumped right into it and then just threw the ball up. And it was really annoying. But what I said was, any unnatural shooting motion that intentionally creates contact with a defender needs to be called an offensive foul or not called at all. An offensive foul would punish the foul baiting, and letting them play on would make them look dumb and stop reinforcing this type of play. Because if you're telling SGA that he can just jump sideways and chuck the ball up, or, you know, not even not even actually try. It's like the same thing as like a take foul. Not like when someone's not trying to make a play on the ball, you know, that's a take foul. Yeah. Okay. When they're, you know, running on a fast break and stuff. So I'm like, it's like the same thing, but like on the offensive end, if you're not really genuinely trying to score, chucking the ball up in the air doesn't count as trying to score. Like I know or how SGA
going
plays.
Going up to score and then knowing that someone's to your right. So you're like, I can get more. Like,
exactly. Yes, exactly. You know, and so it's just like,
you know what's crazy though about what you're saying is that someone posted a photo of the rule book and it literally is an offensive foul. They're just not calling it. It is literally an offensive foul to initiate the contact as, you know, the offensive player when like the defender, you know, but they just, they won't, like, why would you not call that?
Well, and you want to know what's annoying is that like, and, you know, maybe this is like from back in like the Harden days from when he really opened up the door for this for the rest of the league. They call it a lot more on threes. What I was saying is that like the plays that you see a lot they with do. SGA are. Yes. The plays that you see a lot with SGA are the same exact type of play that you see on threes when offensive players kick out, try to jump a lot more forward, make any sort of unnatural shooting motion to make contact with the defender and get the and one. It's called on threes so often, the kickouts, the, you know, the landing space. You'll see a lot of challenges where it'll get called the defensive foul because, you know, they didn't give them landing space. But then you see the 3-point shooter, you know, jumping 3 feet forward to, you know, not allow the defender to give them landing space, you know, to get that extra call.
Yeah.
And so if they're calling those 3-pointers when those 3-point shooters are trying to initiate that contact and, you know, add a non-natural shooting motion to their shot, they should be doing the same for mid-ranges and for layups and everything like that. Like if someone is intentionally jumping into a defender in a non-basketball, non-natural
when they're not when he already backed play. Away to let you shoot the shot and then you're jumping into him so he does contact, like that's ridiculous.
Especially because that's SGA's shot. Like when he jumped, when he stepped back to the left before making contact, like before coming in to make contact with Russ, that's his shot. The little step back, like easy mini mid range. Like that's something that's automatic for him. Just make the shot and move on. Just, you don't need to jump into the defender and continue play like that.
It's just a tough watch. Especially for someone as talented as him. Like, it's just unnecessary. And it was, like, just so frustrating to watch as, like, a Nuggets fan. And then it's just, like, it seemed like a lot of the calls, you know, like, it seemed yesterday also, like, we were getting a good whistle to start the game, like, the first few minutes. And then Mark Dagnall, like, complains. And then, of course, like, we don't anymore. And it ended up pretty evenly, but just some of the things, like there was a play where Jamal Murray was like starting to cook in the first and he got like a layup. And I think they had called it as a foul on maybe Hartenstein. And then they like went to review it because Mark started screaming.
I remember that.
And they found out like that Zeke Nagy was like holding Iheart. So then it got.
Yeah,
so Jamal,
he had
like,
his arm down.
So it was an offensive foul and like Jamal didn't get the points, but they had gone back and it was really frustrating because, and a lot of the announcers were like, well, if we can go back, why can't we like, why aren't we going back for like when Russell Westbrook yesterday got, you know, smacked in the face? It's like things like that where it's like, why does that team like they went back like, and there were like several late whistles. So, I mean, like I don't really have a ton of issue with how the game was officiated yesterday. Of course, there were some silly things on like both ends. I don't like that, like that people were saying yesterday that like we got the best whistle. Like it really seemed pretty even to me over the majority of the game. I would like to after the first, you know, and then what does Mark Dagnall do? He complains as coaches do. And then usually it evens up and that's exactly what happened. If you didn't notice, Mark Dagnall was like literally screaming at Mark Lindsay saying, Mark, you get here right now. They're like literal video. He said, you come here right now and listen to me. I was like, so if you didn't also notice, if you're not on the social medias, we also found out that Mark Dagnall tried to finesse the game yesterday. So if you didn't notice that Mark Dagnall got a delay of game, and Katie Wingy even tweeted, she was like, I can't, like, thank you for posting this, the guy that, like, posted the full video, because she was like, I can't believe I didn't notice, like, what was happening. So Mark Dagnall was getting very frustrated, apparently, that Jokic inbounds the ball very quickly. That's like Jokic's favorite thing.
I was going to say he loves to do that. That's a Jokic thing. Yeah.
That's his thing. Okay. It's to immediately inbound the ball while you know the defense hasn't set yet. Just a normal, smart basketball IQ mind.
You're taking advantage of it, yeah.
And to usually get AG or CB down at the rim for a quick layup just to start, like, start the possession, and then they, and then he's already back on defense. So that's, like, just a thing that Jokic does. So instead of, like, yelling at his defenders, telling them to, like, you need to sprint back on defense, Jokic demands the balls the ball, like, from the refs, like, very quickly, and then throws it really quickly. He decided to try and do this thing called a permanent sub. So he got Dylan Jones, who was literally signed to that roster like that day, and had played in a G League game that day, and was calling him up. I'm sure the kid was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're not putting me in. He had him go up back and forth to the scorer's table so that they did the like the little buzzer for substitution, and everyone like pauses the game and the refs have to do it. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm not putting him in. He did that multiple times until he finally got a delay of game, because they're like, you can't just leave this kid up here. And
it was for like several quarters, by the way, too. It was like a lot of the game.
He literally said he would have done it all game if he didn't get the delay of game like call. And I was like, dude, why would you not be yelling at your defense to get set rather than trying to like cheat the system? Like, that was so bizarre to me. Like, it seems like you'd be getting pissed at your defense for not running back, which Malone gets pissed all the time because
he does.
You know,
he yells. Yeah.
He yells. Cause if you watch a Nuggets game, you'll watch us hit a three and they like act like the world is on fire. And then they don't get back on defense and give up a three immediately.
They just all celebrate for 30 seconds on their way back down.
They're like, did you see that, dude? Like, I
made
see
that shit. I made a three. Well, and it's so funny. Good. I wanted to tell you too, cause I wasn't sure if you saw the Jokic video about Mark Dagnall doing that.
No,
but I love it because I will. And so like, and I want to tell people too what I said to Spencer, because when Spencer was telling me that yesterday, I texted her back and I was like, I'm not going to lie though. Like, if Malone was doing that, I'd be like, you sneaky little, okay. Like, you know, work in the system and stuff. Because I was just like, that's like, it's so annoying as the opposing team, but it's something sneaky. And so I think, Katie Wingy or someone else was asking Jokic after the game, like, what did you think about that? Did you notice him doing that? And he just smiled and he was like, it was a smart play. It was smart. I would do it too. I am fast. I am fast guy. That was a smart play by Mark. And I was just so proud.
Oh, he's so
funny. I was like, you know what? See, I knew that that was such like a Jokic thing. So I was like, you know, if I'm trying to be unbiased, I know that like if my coach did it, I'd be like, you sneaky little biatch.
I don't know.
But
Malone,
it was so
I'd be
annoying.
Like, bro, I think I'd be embarrassed. Like, I don't know. That's I just thought it was funny. Lame. I agreed with Adam was talking about it.
I agree.
And he was like, it's like just one of those things that like makes the NBA like not fun like that.
Well,
and then jumping to defenders and then fouling up three like at the end of the games. It's just one of those things where it's like a loophole that like,
well,
ruins the fun of the game, kind of.
I agree. And that's actually, so what Jokic said after the whole, like, that was a smart move, I just like to inbound the ball fast. He actually was like defending himself on like inbounding the ball really quickly or whatever. And that's exactly what he was saying, is he's like, he was saying something about how like the NBA wants to be faster paced. Like, we don't want to slow the game down. That's, you know, that's why we don't like all the free throws. I don't like watching the game stop every 30 seconds for a free throw.
No one does.
And that's with every player. It's not even like, I don't even have a problem with just SGA about it. Like, any game that I have to watch.
No one wants to hear a whistle for a touch foul in any game. Like, everyone groans. God. It doesn't matter what team you're watching. It's like, really?
When I was watching the Pistons Warriors game on Saturday, they had like 36 free throws on both teams. And I was like, why?
Why?
Like, it's a It's a physical game. These are like, you have Draymond Green, Isaiah Stewart. You have freaking Asar Thompson and GP2. Like, you have fast, physical defenders. Like, this is going to be a physical game. Why are we calling 36? Like, why are we calling all these fouls? They're just not necessary. And so I liked Jokic's point that, like, he's like, I do this because it's smart and we want a faster paced basketball game. And like, what, you know, what better way to have a fast paced basketball game than get that damn ball in and have the the defending team should be back on defense. And you, like, should Jokic, be ready to go.
Jokic knows it's usually like an easy free 2 points because he does it so quickly. And he just literally, he's like, oh, we're not going to dribble football up the court. If someone's already down there, I'm just going to football throw. Like, come on now. So
exactly.
Yes. So yesterday, Nuggets were the first team to put 140 points on OKC in the whole season. It felt really good, might I say. Felt really good.
I agree.
After hating on Malone, because I was so frustrated with Malone doing these 3-guard lineups against the Twin Towers. I'm like, yo, like, you have 2 7-footers out there. Yo, Malone, let's
two
talk.
2 great 7-footers, mind you. Like, they're not just like posts. They're great 7-footers.
And it was driving me insane because we were like, we would get stops and then there was no offense happening on Sunday. So yesterday, you know, he started Russ because AG was out. And at first I was like, why is he not starting a 4? Like, we have, again, they're starting 2 7-footers, but everyone was like, well, you know, you have to start Russ in order to play Pickett. And I was like, oh, you're right. It really seemed like Malone did a really smart, however many hours him and his coaches maybe just sat in the hotel room in Oklahoma City and said, you know, we have, it's almost kind of nice because you get to, you know who you're playing because you literally just played them. You can dissect that whole game and make a whole new game. You know, it's like playoffs where you're like, okay, this is what went wrong. This is what I saw. And then the other coaches can be like, hey, this is what we saw. This is why I love, you know, series. So kudos to Malone. It felt like he made great adjustments in his lineups. I want to say it was the Pickett, Piwott, Murray, Najee,
and Jokic.
And Jokic potentially was a fantastic lineup. Okay. And I just want to say something because OKC was like, sure, Jalen Pickett, never heard of this guy hitting his threes. He's been doing that. He doesn't like shoot like 5 threes a game. When he gets minutes, probably averages like 2 3-point attempts, and he usually makes them. So
he's one of those guys. He reminds me a lot.
He's a good, consistent guy.
Yes, I was going to say he reminds me a lot of Moses Moody on the Warriors. I always say when Moses Moody comes out, I mean, Moses Moody has been getting way more minutes than he even has been starting lately. But Moses Moody, like earlier this season, last season, and the season before, was a guy that like didn't get a ton of minutes. But the second he comes out, if he plays for 5 minutes, you're likely going to see a couple of threes out of him. They're just that kind of player, and they'll come out and they'll nail them. And Jalen Pickett's the same guy. He's a very big stay ready guy. Same with Zeke Nnaji. Zeke has obviously waited his turn and it has benefited him greatly. But I just feel like I totally agree with you. I loved that we kind of had that, a back-to-back. I didn't love the back-to-back against a really tough team, especially because you do have guys like J-Dub
and
that got hurt.
At their home, you know?
Exactly, yes. And you know, you have guys like Aaron Gordon that got hurt and couldn't play game two. J-Dub got hurt, couldn't play most of game two. And, you know, like, stuff like that is hard. They're very physical, very competitive games. You're literally the number one and number two team in the West. Like, they're really tough games. And so to have to play them back to back during the regular season is tough because, of course, you want to be able to heal your guys and come back and make those adjustments. But that doesn't happen in playoffs, and it won't happen in playoffs. What I would love to see from Mark Daigneault, though, if we end up at all playing OKC in the playoffs, is I would, instead of doing the whole permanent sub thing, I would really love to see him make an adjustment and tell his team, we have Jokic here. On all inbounds, we all need to get back. Like, I want to see a real adjustment. Like I said, hustle, I thought that ass, the whole like permanent sub thing was, I thought it was annoying, but I also thought it was funny and clever. You needed the extra time. I get it. But I would really like to see, like, you should be telling your team, get your ass back on defense. Not
we're telling them to inbound quicker.
Yeah, trying exactly. to do the same thing. Like, take advantage of it. Exactly. And so I would really love to see that. But I really did enjoy. I feel like our team came out. Like, I was worried that we'd be a little defeated. Obviously, like, Malone, I guess, had a conversation with Jokic on Sunday night and was like, look, like, we can use Monday as a rest day for you. Obviously, you know, Tuesday, then you can get some more rest. Like, you're beaten up. You've got a bum ankle.
Yeah, we played the OT game.
Exactly. Like, OT games, you beat up your elbow yesterday. Your other elbow's messed up, too. Like, you've got all these problems. Let's rest it. And he said, hell no. He literally was like, hell no.
He literally said, hell no.
Yeah. He's like, we're all beat up. Like, this is an important game for us. Like, we, you know, and I get like a lot of people, oh, they're playing it like it's their game seven. These are important games as of right now. Like, you know, yes, the Nuggets are second, and yes, we're still 11 games back.
And are we supposed to just lose?
Exactly. Like, I just, like, I don't think that people understand that, like, these regular season games, like, as OKC and Cavs fans, like, you guys are so far ahead of everyone else that likely at this point in the season, no one's coming back. No one is gonna take your spot at number one, and that's fine. But everyone else from 2 through 11 needs to work their ass off every night. And being able to have a statement game to come out and beat OKC, who has been very unbeatable a lot of the last couple of months. Like, they've been a very hard team to beat, obviously all season, but more so just in the last couple of months. And so for us to be able to come out as a team, knowing that Aaron Gordon is hurt, knowing that Jokic is beat up, and everyone else is kind of, you know, Jamal, his knee was effed up too. Like, everyone was kind of having problems. And everyone just came out, and it was such a good team game. We had 6 guys in double digits. We had, you know, assists across the board, rebounds across the board. Jokic obviously had a fantastic game. You know, I think it was 35-18-5 or 38-18-5, something like that. But I mean,
35-18-8.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yes. Something like that.
15 for 20, by the way.
Yes.
From the field.
Yes. Incredibly efficient. Just truly a monster night by Jokic for him, you know, being beat up. And just, I always appreciate that about him. What? MV4? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Me too.
and we'll talk about it in a second.
We can even have a little bit of that conversation.
We will, but I wanted to brag, because you're talking about, you know, the guys that came out. I wanted to brag about CB, because if you look at his numbers, you're probably like, oh, like, where's his offense? CB, like, really took it personally. The, like, giving up 40 points to Shea, which, I mean, like, it's hard to stop Shea. He's probably the toughest cover in the league, but he took that matchup personally and told all the guys, like, he kind of made it his mission. He was like, I'm not leaving him alone. He did not leave SGA alone all night. They did a great job of, you know, double teaming him at half court and getting the ball out of his hands and kind of doing what other teams have done to Jokic, where they're not allowing him to get the ball back in his hands so he can get to his spots. And, you know, you're forcing those other guys without J-Dub to play make, which they didn't do. You know, they did do okay, though, just because they were a +5 when SGA was sitting, just saying, and a -18 with him on. Anyway, but I just thought the defense showed up so much better, and they worked so much better, you know, just stopping SGA from getting those easy shots. You know, there are several times you watch him just go to the lane. I don't think this is Zeke's best defensive game, so that's why I was like, CB didn't. I just don't think this might not be his matchup, and they were trying to force him back into that 5 role, and he really is a 4. So I think he's better alongside, like, Jokic or, you know, DeAndre or someone. Obviously, DeAndre didn't play. But then, you know, I was really pissed about the first game because P-Watt started the game that we won earlier in the year when Murray and AG were both out. And he played, like, 25 minutes, something like that. And obviously, we were the first team to beat OKC. And then he played him 6 minutes. On Sunday.
Like,
why do you do this to me? I'm suffering.
It hurt me.
And P-Watt had a great, great game. Did he have some mistakes? Yes. He got the DPOG chain. He hit 4 for 4 from 3. And everyone was like, he's not making those shots. That's Magna Ball. Just to let you know, he's been shooting 48% from those corners. Like, it's like 47 and 48% from the corner. And, like, it's like 35 from, like,
he's
around
a corner
the
three king.
But him and Russ, They live in that quarter, baby. So don't say that that's never going to happen again. 4 for 4 is, you know, not like maybe not going to happen again. Lou Dort's not going to hit 8 for 8. I just hated that. Like just saying that we had magnet ball just because like OKC in the third quarter hit like 8 for 9 threes or something. So I'm like, you well, know, we both just, like they had their turn hitting from three and then we had the fourth hitting from three.
Yeah. And I just, I don't necessarily like, did we have a great shooting game? Yes. But everyone has always said, and we've always said too, like just as a team, the Nuggets are one of the best offensive teams. We're one of the highest scoring teams in the league. Everyone else that plays against us might have their highest scoring game of the season. Okay.
Yeah, but you're the number one defense.
Yes, exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it's impressive to score 140 on the number one defense. And I just like, and even shout out to OKC because I feel like their defense was playing really well. It was one of those games, and this is one of my favorite quotes.
I would just like some great, credit, though.
Defense, better offense.
Getting 140 on the number one by far, like literally you have Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, you know, like you have like some
and they were
the
having
best defenders.
Fantastic defensive games.
Yes. So I would just like, I would like some credit because I often give credit where credit is due. Okay. Just saying. And Jamal Murray, again, like we always say this, when Jamal Murray is playing like that, and that was a little sneak peek of what playoff Murray usually looks like, it's so hard for me to believe that you're beating Denver 4 times. Okay? Like, that's so hard for me to believe. Will it be a series? Like, yeah, with Denver. But I'm like, if Jamal Murray is playing like Jamal Murray does in the playoffs, like, you can't game plan against him. And I talked about this a few episodes ago, that there's teams that, like, younger teams don't do as well against, because again, like you had an example of Jamal Murray rising to the occasion, which is often what he does. He goes above and beyond in the playoffs, and teams like get confused because it's like a different player. So you can't really game plan against Jamal going off, because look, once you see the look in Jamal's eye, and I saw it in the first quarter, I was like, he's having a good game. Like, it's the best feeling as a Nuggets fan when
he
kind of
gives you these like calm crazy eyes where he like
it's like I don't know, it's just it's the aura, but anyway,
it's the aura.
I want to talk about how frustrated I am with this stupid, forgive my French, fucking MVP Reyes, because if I have to hear one more time from national media heads that of course Jokic is the best basketball player in the world, having the best season he's ever had, but Shea's getting the MVP because he deserves it, because he didn't get it last year. That sounds like a personal problem to me. I'm so sorry. If you're not better than a certain player, that sounds like a personal problem. I don't think anyone deserves an MVP handed to them. I think you earn an MVP. And of course, the first game is on national television. And Stephen A. today, I'm thinking like, okay, they can't shut up now because SGA has 40, you know, on Sunday. And he has... Let me read it, because I posted them both. Okay, so SGA, because they both had like an okay game and then a like a really good game. Yeah, they flipped, which I kind of thought might happen. You know, I thought it was going to go potentially 1-1 and each have a good game.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And like you can see in the statistics, Shea's great game was the game that OKC won, and Jokic's great game was the game that Denver won. Those are both MVP caliber players and conversations.
Yeah. So SGA had 40 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and shot 15 for 32. Okay. So they both made the same amount of field goals. Actually, Jokic was shooting 75%, 78.8% true shooting, 15 to 20 from the field. Only 4 free throws. Shea had 8. And Jokic finished 35-18-8, a steal and a block. I hated today. Stephen A. came on and said, it's over for me. He literally said, you're going to be happy at second, Jokic, because that's where you're going to be. He literally said that on national TV. Kendrick Perkins is telling Shannon Sharp he can't believe that. He's like, you got to stop acting like Jokic is the best basketball player in the world and no one's close. But it's true. Like, Jokic just put up 30, 20, and 20 for the first time Ever. It's never been done in history. There have been a dozen, literally 12 other seasons of Shea's caliber right now. No one has done what Jokic is doing. So I think I'm just getting frustrated because everyone, I understand that Shea is averaging insane points, but Jokic is averaging insane points while handling everything else on offense. And, you know, especially last night, like in the fourth, you know, they talk about showing up like when your team needs you and whatnot. And Shea was literally, I think he had 7 minutes, 2 points, and that was it
in the fourth.
And he was a minus 18 in the game. They were only positive with Shea off the floor. So I'm like, I just don't know how you can come and tell me that he's more valuable than Jokic is to the team when, like, because everyone's like, oh, they can't handle the non-SGA minutes. No, we can't handle the non-Jokic minutes. Y'all were a plus five. You were fine without SGA on the floor. I'm like, it's obvious that they have like nine starters, like nine guys that could start like at any given game. So I just, it's like, so yeah, 2.0 rebounds, zero assists in the fourth, minus six. Yeah. Didn't do anything defensively. He watched Peyton Watson, literally ball wash. And shoot, I'm not trying to like just hate on him, but I'm like, this is what everyone says about Jokic. So I think it's only fair that if one is bad defensively,
keep
the same energy. Jokic didn't have a great, he had defensive lowlights at that Bucks game everyone was clipping. You could clip several moments, you know, like you can't just cherry pick like that was a bad play. Like, because I can look at any player in the league and say like Lou Dort and Alex Caruso both had like a couple missed reads last night. Like, you know, everyone's going to not be perfect every second of the game. So I think that's just like why I'm like, just, I don't understand how national media heads literally went on this morning and say it didn't matter. And that, especially after, mind you, at the beginning of the season, they literally said for Jokic to win another MVP, he would have to be a top three seed and average a triple double. But now he's averaging almost a 30 point triple double and he's the number two seed. But now we've moved the goalpost again. Now it still doesn't matter.
It doesn't even matter now. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Shea's scoring like crazy. And again, I get that SGA is having an amazing season, but Michael Mullen was right last night. He said, if you didn't know that Jokic had three MVPs, he would be winning. But you're punishing a guy because he's that fucking good. Like, that again is a personal problem. Why is no one else better than Jokic? So sorry.
Sounds like a problem to me. And I'm going to add to like your whole national media conversation, because I think that like it is frustrating. Like, I'm sure OKC and SGA fans love it. But, you know, like for me, Kendrick Perkins making his comments that he has been lately has been
him
so
and
obnoxious.
Stephen A. have both been making the worst comments ever.
Yes. And it's so frustrating because like for me, and I made this comment on Twitter because I'm annoying, but like Kendrick Perkins 2 years ago, the year that Joel Embiid, was it 2 years ago? Two, 3 years ago, whatever it may be. The year that the Nuggets won.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so Kendrick Perkins essentially made this whole thing that if you don't vote for Embiid, or if you're voting for Jokic, it's because you're racist.
I think it was like, yeah, Embiid or Giannis, you're racist. Yeah,
exactly. If you're voting for Jokic over these guys, you're racist. And so he started like literally putting this, saying that like it was white people voting for white players, and everyone only cares about white players and blah, blah, blah.
Which, as white people, we know that's like the scariest thing, is for someone to like try and accuse you of being like, that's all you have to say. And like, so
everyone's going to back up. Everyone's like, oh, you're right. I don't want to be racist.
Yeah.
I don't want to be racist. But like, the thing is like appreciating. And I said this to Spencer, I think earlier, but like MVP race, very close. SGA is phenomenal. He absolutely has a fantastic MVP.
It deserves to be close 100%. Yes. Like, I'm not Jokic saying also, that Jokic should be plus 70,000 on the like totally. Odds or that Jokic should be minus 70,000 and SGA is plus a million. Like,
yeah,
I know it's close.
Yes. And I always tell people, like, if you're talking about the MVP race and you're saying that it's not even close, you're just wrong, because it is close. It is close because there are normal people out there, despite what you might see on social media and national television. There are normal people out there who are able to watch two players and genuinely decipher who they think is the most valuable to their team. There are people out there that do that. And it is a very close race because SGA has had a phenomenal season. Him, like their team, a phenomenal season. They've been absolutely amazing. They have been so hard to beat. I truly feel bad for any person that has to go up against them in the playoffs.
Like, they're all so hard to beat. Like, I don't understand why they keep lying about their talent when you sat your entire starting five and you beat the Blazers, who aren't it's the Blazers. I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't the Wizards. Okay. Like, the Blazers play hard every single night. And they whooped them by like 20. I promise you, if our Nuggets bench went against the Blazers, they would lose by 30. Guarantee it.
And
so that just goes to show how great they are.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the whole, like, you know, it was against the Blazers conversation is annoying too, because if you actually watch basketball, the Blazers have actually been a pretty fantastic team. They're one of those teams. They reminded me a lot of the Pistons last year, where the Pistons were the worst team in the league. They couldn't win a game to save their life, but they fought
every night
to the game. They do not make these games easy. They are the Warriors played them last night and they fought with the Warriors the entire game, except for like the fourth quarter before we pulled out the win. And it's just like, they're a great team. They were a like top five defense over like since January. They're a great team. Yeah. Just because they're not winning games doesn't mean that they're not a good team. And so like if your starters are resting, any team in the league, if your five starters are resting and you go play the Blazers, a full Blazers team, for the most part, a full Blazers team, you're probably going to lose.
Of their starters, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. They're a great team. And so I think like the whole, you know, like, oh, I find it so weird because an OKC fan said this too, and so I think it goes for both sides. I find it really weird that you're putting down your team's players to lift your MVP case up. Like, I'm going to say this because, like, we really do have kind of a bad bench. I love all of our bench guys, but we don't have a great bench. And that's
they've been saying that about us,
factual.
But I'm like, it's true. Like, you're not going to look
factual.
At, we don't have anyone of Alex Caruso's caliber on our bench. No. Like, be so for real.
or on our starting five, even. We don't have exactly. We don't have any elite defensive players. And And so like, I'm not even trying to like put our players down, because I really do think like we're such a fantastic offensive team.
No, I love them. But when Jokic is not there, they literally look like they don't know how to play basketball. So
they literally look like Spencer on her fifth grade B team. Okay.
Yeah. See?
Exactly. But like, you know, you look at OKC and like, and I mean this literally from like a, like, I'm like scared of you as a team. You know, a lot of people might be like, oh, I'm not scared to play OKC. I would shit my pants if we had to play OKC in a 7-game series.
I hate it. Like, that's why I get frustrated. Because it's like they take out five starters and bring in more guys like that half of them could start on an NBA team. And like, God, I love our bench guys and they're getting there. But it's just not
give
the
them
same.
2 years.
It's not the same. Like, our bench notoriously gives up and loses our leads. And then Jokic has to check back in early because they're so bad. Like, that is just a fact. They don't go on runs. Like, occasionally they'll get like a 5-point run. That's like the most probably they've ever gotten. Like, our bench isn't the bench of everyone that ever, like, some other teams have, like the Celtics and we're just not a deep team. And everyone says that, but then now they're like, well, Denver has all these blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but you just said we didn't have the depth to win. So like, which is it? Like, it's like the narrative gets changed. Like, they choose what they want to go with. And then they like flip flop when it doesn't suit their agenda.
Yep. And I know that. And I know that a lot of OKC fans will probably say the same about Nuggets fans too, because I've already seen comments about how the narrative has flipped too. But I just like
the thing is I also I forgot to mention that mind you, in the league out of 30 teams, the Nuggets without Jokic are 29th when Jokic sits, and the Thunder are 9th when SGA sits.
Yeah.
So if you want to try and tell me, oh, because this is my favorite, is that we have a Hall of Famer on our team.
2025 Russell Westbrook. If you are using him as a
as an argument,
you go
that we
to
have,
All-Star Hall of Famer. He's not 2019 Russ, babe. He's not.
He's not. It's not. He's not 2016 Russ. 2017 Russ. It's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. He's not the same dude. And so
I beg of you, to like,
I think I totally
give us reason.
Exactly. I think I made long story way longer, but what I was trying to like get to is that like Kendrick Perkins calling everyone racist made it so that Joel Embiid ends up winning this pity MVP. Was he a fantastic player? He is when he's healthy. I get it. Amazing. Blah, blah, blah. That was Jokic's MVP that year. That it should have been his MVP that year. And because it was not, exactly. And because he did not get it and Joel Embiid won that year, people last year were voting backwards. They were voting based on the prior year and started giving Jokic MVP votes, not based on last year's performance, but based on the year before when he should have won MVP. So Kendrick Perkins making those comments not only gave Embiid a pity MVP, but it also effed up voting for all the subsequent years, because now people are like, well, now Jokic has three. Well, that's great. It should have been Jokic three in a row, then SGA, and then Jokic again this year. That's how it should have been.
I even would have argued for Luka to get it last year.
Exactly. Me too. I thought it was Luka, and then they said SGA was in second. And so like there were so many cases last year, you know, where I thought like this could be SGA's, this could be Luka's.
To be fair, Jokic still won by like 100 votes. So.
He did. And that's because he really is like, no one has ever done what this guy is doing, especially for just like 5 years straight. He really is. And I say this, I'm literally getting goosebumps. That's how annoying I am. I'm saying this not even as a Nuggets fan, just as a basketball fan in general. I love watching him play basketball. He's an amazing basketball player. Truly one of the best I have ever seen in my life. And I'm kind of like obsessed with Steph Curry. So like me saying this about Jokic is really big. Okay. But like Jokic, best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Kendrick Perkins in the national media pushing that incredibly stupid and unethical take the year that Joel Embiid won completely ruined the subsequent MVP years. Literally, SGA could have had it last year had Kendrick Perkins not completely effed it up the year before. They're using their platforms and they have huge platforms. These are ESPN guys and people hate watch them all the time. And people see them all over their TVs just because they have, you know, ESPN on their TV. You're pushing these narratives that, you know, X person deserves to win because this person has had it too much. Or X person deserves to win because you're racist if you don't. X person deserves to win because XYZ. If you're not looking at the MVP race as a race between truly what players are the most valuable to their team, you are not doing the league justice, you are not doing the players justice, and you are not doing the award justice. And again, I think that SGA has a phenomenal case for MVP, but he's not my MVP. If he wins, and even Jokic even said this, if he wins, I will clap for him. He's had a phenomenal last few seasons.
I think what pissed me off is that Jokic was like, I think I'm playing the best basketball of my life, and if that's not enough, then okay. Like it was like then it okay. just
he
feels like
about
even
it.
Even well, because even he's like, I'm literally having the best the best year ever, and like,
that's
I'm
insane
not,
for him to say. Like he doesn't care
he
about.
Never,
like
he
his play. He just and wants so to like, win. That's his thing.
You're going to tell me that I, out of all my MVP years, I'm blowing those years out of the water and doing it on insane efficiency. But like,
this year
because
isn't
I've
mine
won
because
three
I've
times.
Won it?
And then like other people were saying, well, he has won it three times. And if he gets four, well, then LeBron should have had seven and Michael Jordan should have had six or, but, and it's like,
that was then, this is now, we're trying to help this. What is trying to make this ethical?
Yeah. I just hate it. And I hate that Stephen A's like, I know who has my vote. I'm like, no one cares. Why do you have a vote? I honestly don't know why Kendrick Perkins has a vote after he's specifically said how biased he is. I think you should be able to get your vote taken. And yes. I think people, because it's like a bunch of media people, I think, you know, I obviously don't know who all gets a vote, but I think it should be like previous MVPs. Cause I guess like the vote did used to come from players in the league. I feel like players should have like a role in that. I would honestly say maybe like players that are, you can't do any players from the same team maybe. Cause like they're biased, but like Kevin Durant literally went off on a reporter, after the OT game, because they were like, how do you feel about Jokic being the underdog in the MVP race? And he was like, stop it. Like, what are we doing here? He was like, that guy's the best basketball player in the world. Like he's never an underdog. Like he just put up 30, 20 and 20. And that's how I feel. I'm like, when you tell me who's the most valuable and I find out that OKC is ninth without SGA, like that's the only stat I need to look at really is, are both their numbers, their efficiency, and then seeing how good his team is without him and seeing how bad the Nuggets are without Jokic. Like it's, I don't understand how everyone's so obsessed with hating on Jokic about it. It's and so can annoying.
And I was going to say, can I make a comment about the whole 30-20-20 game? Cause we didn't really get a chance to talk about it or anything. So with that, with the 30-20-20 game, I made a comment after, because this is genuinely how I feel about it. Like if when SGA put up his 51 point game, like I was like, that's impressive. He put up like 350 point games since January. That's incredible. And I will never discredit him for that, because that's and I've said it a million times. He's a fantastic scorer. If you are unable to lift up another player, or like congratulate another player or recognize greatness of another player just because you're a fan of a player that's maybe a direct competitor, you're probably not very, I guess, like confident in your player or in how good your player is. Because like for them to take a 30-20-20 game and be like, it was against the Suns. It was against XYZ. It was, you know, it took them beating, you know, the 11th seed Suns for him to do that. You know, XYZ, he's stat padding. I'm sorry, but if you, like someone was like, oh, I watched Russell Westbrook put up 20-20-20. And I said, that's great. This is 30-20-20. This is 31-21-22 or 31-22-21, something like that. Insane numbers. If you are not able to just look at this as an objective basketball fan and be like, we just witnessed history. What a phenomenal game. Then your player is not as good as you think that they are. Because if you were confident in how good your player was, you'd be like, damn, that was a good ass game. That's impressive. And then you'd go back to glazing your player like the rest of us. Okay. Like be like, go ahead.
Did you see the Thunder fan that said that game wasn't even impressive because assists aren't even that impressive, because to score, you have to make the shot, and an assist is someone else having to make the shot for you to get the assist.
Fuck John Stockton. Loser. That guy with 5,000 assists. Loser. Loser. Like that's I can't even, I'm not even giving that a second of my time. That's insanity.
Because we're talking about assists, I forgot before, you know, we were going to talk about other teams, but this took too long. So this is going to be a Denver versus OKC game and MVP debate, and I'm fine with it. Last Tuesday, we only talked about like the Kyrie situation, so maybe that'll just happen sometimes. Okay, so I just wanted to bring this graphic up. Someone posted this today. This is Dynamic Duos. This is every player that has 100 plus assists to a teammate this season. So if you will see, Jokic is on this graphic four times.
I love him.
He, of course, one of those is because Russell is to him. So Russell has 122 assists to Jokic.
Wait.
What?
He's on here five times.
Oh, five. Yes. Sorry. Oh, well, because that. Okay. So Jamal and Russ have some to him. But yeah, Yoke has 136 to MPJ. He has 143 to CB and has 104 to Jamal. If you'll notice, no one else, I believe, I double checked. Okay. Tyrese Halliburton is the only person I think on here with two.
Which is on here awesome twice for him.
You know who I don't see on here?
Yep. I know exactly who you don't see on here.
The point guard? Okay. And can I just have to say that.
I have like a compliment, but it's also a critique for SGA. One thing that I love about SGA when he is playing an ethical brand of basketball and not searching for fouls. One of the coolest things about SGA, and I feel the same about Jamal Murray, he is fantastic at creating a shot for himself. And yeah, not a lot of players can do that. Genuinely, there are a lot of players that cannot create a shot for themselves. Steph Curry, amazing at creating a shot for himself. Jamal Murray, when he's on, awesome at making
Michael Porter Jr.
for himself.
Couldn't do it if his life was on the line.
Nope. Michael Porter Jr., someone has to create that for him, and he just has to stand there and be ready.
That man cannot dribble.
Exactly. And so SGA, genuinely, like his athleticism, his speed, the way that he drives to the basket, the way that he can stop on a dime and pull back, you know, do a little floater, you know, XYZ. He's phenomenal at finding and creating a shot for himself. But like that doesn't mean that he's good at creating for other people. Yeah. And I just like, and as a point guard, I do find that to be important. And I do find that to be important when it comes to assists as well. And again, that's like another reason why I love someone like Steph Curry. I love Steph Curry's ability because I wish SGA would use this because people are going to start doubling him. And I really would love to see SGA do kind of what Steph Curry does. Steph Curry is the biggest on using his gravity to create shots for other people. All you have to do is drive to the basket. And instead of grifting, jumping into people. Exactly. And so instead of grifting, jumping into people, jumping through those three defenders to get your own shot and get the foul, you have, and people are going to say like, oh, we don't have these great shooters, blah, blah, blah. You do.
You just yelled at me saying Lou Dort shoots 40%. So apparently Lou Dort is a Steph Curry, basically.
Exactly. And so, but like when you have someone like SGA who's going to get doubled, people are going to drop in. People are gonna play help defense. There are several times where you'll see SGA drive to the basket and suddenly there's four defenders out.
Yeah.
You have four teammates on the perimeter or even somewhere kind of in mid-range that are ready for the ball, that are just standing there, watch you call your own number, watch you take your own shot. You've got open teammates everywhere. Use that gravity.
We have Jamal do that sometimes, and we get pissed off. I'll be like, why did you just dribble the whole possession and then break a shot? Uh-huh. You know,
we'll text each other and yell at each other about it.
Most of the times SGA is making those, but I'm like, you know, you could add a couple extra possessions in there. So yeah, that's all I have to say. You know, I tried to this was mainly my counter to all the media just saying that the MVP race is over and SGA deserves it and no one else does, and me being pissed off about it. So sorry about that. Tried to be as unbiased as I could, but it's...
I think you did good. I don't think that you were mean about SGA at all.
I wasn't, you know, I just repeated stats, and you can't get mad at people for repeating stats because that's what they are. They are a statistic that is factual and is true. And SGA is an amazing player, and this should be close, but it is unfair to punish a guy just because he's won it before. He is having a generational season that has literally like never been done before, and the other players has been done 12 times.
And he's the second seed. Like, that's the really frustrating part, is that people kept saying, like, you need to win. And, like, I get being the first seed and having the season that OKC is having is phenomenal. You do have a phenomenal coaching staff. You have such a deep team that you've had some detrimental injuries. And that is also a wonderful part of SGA's case is that he's been really healthy all season and he's had a lot of bummed out players and they've still continued winning. But that's also a shout out to the depth of their team. Spencer and I before.
Same with Nuggets.
Exactly.
AG's been Spencer out. Jamal's been out. P-Watt was out. Russ was out.
Everyone. We've had. I mean, we now know that
Jalen Pickett and Zeke Najee are playable. We never would have known that if people didn't suck. So
we love this game. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I just, again, I think it's going to be a really close MVP race. Like I said, if SGA wins it, he has a wonderful case and he deserves that and good for him. Jokic is my MVP. Personally, always, I would have a shrine of him if I could. No, I'm kidding. That's weird. But that is my pick. If SGA is your pick, that's great. We don't need nasty comments about it. I love discourse. Talk to us about it. Tell us why he's your MVP. Tell us why you think someone else should be MVP. Giannis still exists. I bet you Giannis
can tell
will
me
get a
why he's
votes.
Your MVP. But if you mention one thing about defense, I will laugh you out of the comment section. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you call me a name, I'm just going to cry and block you. So it's just really wasting your time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for being here. We promise we'll talk more ball on Friday. But this was like a big day for like two contending teams, in my opinion, weekend.
And the MVP race.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff to get into there. And a lot of people are like really intrigued about it, especially people that haven't been following all season and are just kind of tuning in towards the end with football and stuff. So we will be together on Friday. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you missed the beginning of this episode, please subscribe, like, comment, so we can chat with you, and we will talk to you guys soon. Anything for you to say, Caitlin?
No, thanks for being here. If you've made it this hour and 10 minutes, I love you for that. I'm so happy to be here. Spencer, so happy to be here. We're so happy you guys are here.
Elated.
Follow us on all of our other socials and talk to us throughout the week. I've been freaking out about the NFL, freaking off-season free agency stuff that's been happening.
Go Broncos.
We've Dre been Greenlaw. Talking a lot. Yeah. Ooh.
Defense. We got two 49ers.
I'm so
49ers. Okay. Oh my God. The 49ers left. Like everyone is gone. It's like
they
bare bones
are
over there. Anyway,
tanking
okay, I have
for
to go
Wemby.
Though. Yeah.
Yes, me too.
The 49ers are tanking for Wemby.
Period.
Tanking for Cup.
Literally. Whatever. We love you. Follow us. Love us. Go hate us. Bye.
Okay. Bye.